my sermon today is that we have the mind of Christ. Does God communicate directly to his children today? The answer, of course, is yes, absolutely. When the time came for Jesus to leave the earth, he did not leave us alone. He left us the Holy Spirit. He left us his word. He left us his church. So we were not alone in this world. Jesus came and died for the sin of the world, rose from the dead, and today's sermon is about this amazing truth that we have the mind of Christ. For those who know the Lord, and for those who have put their trust in him, this is truly an amazing blessing. This comes to us from 1 Corinthians 2:16, and it opens with these lines: "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" And the answer, of course, is no one. No one has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him. Job, in his distress, in his very difficult life, started to complain to God and said to God, you could have done it this way, Lord. You could have done that. And then finally, God answers Job with some powerful words at the end of the book of Job. And he said, "Job, were you there when I made the foundations of the earth? Job, were you there when I put the stars and the galaxies in place? Job, where were you when the seas were laid down?" And Job could just, I imagine, put his head down. "No, I wasn't there, but you were." You see, our God is all-powerful, almighty. He can speak, and the world came into being. He gave us our life, our minds, our hearts, and everything about who we are and this world around us. But then what I was examining was the second part of this. But we have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. We can know and be instructed by the King of Kings, the Maker of heaven and earth. And what does that mean, though, really, to have the mind of Christ? Well, I turn to the reading from Philippians. And if you have your Bibles, it's Philippians 4-9. That was your reading this morning. And to have the mind of Christ means several things. But I'm going to focus more on this Philippians passage. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." To have the mind of Christ means we are a people who rejoice. Who rejoice in good times? And that's easy. To rejoice in hard times? Well, that's a lot harder. We rejoice not because of our circumstances, but because who we are in Christ and who we have dwelling in us, that we rejoice in this truth that we are God's children. We are able to rejoice because the Spirit lives in us. We are an eternal people. We know we are loved by God. Lord Jesus gave his life for us. We will inherit the kingdom of God and live forever in him. We are an eternal people. Yeah, that's a lot to rejoice about, who we are in Christ. In verse 5, he says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Well, I like to look at different Bible translations sometimes. NIV tells us that your gentleness should be evident to all. ESV tells us your reasonableness. Both are correct. Why? Because what King David knew, that the Lord is near. The Lord dwells within us. He is near to us. He sees everything that we do. There's nowhere we can go in heaven or anywhere we drift on earth. The Lord is near. Yes, that is a good thing. And that enables us to let our gentleness, let our reasonableness be evident to all, because he is near. And then you have these very difficult verses that follow in 6. Do not be anxious about anything. I thought it would be easier if he said, be anxious about everything. I can get anxious very easily, as a matter of fact. But God's telling us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You have a God in heaven who wants to listen to you. He wants you to ask for whatever you need. God wants us to come to Him. He hears us. He wants to intercede on behalf of those who love Him. Ask what you want. Do you want to have victory over sin? Ask. God is able to give you that. Do you want your faith to grow? Ask. God is surely able to give you that. He is your perfect heavenly Father, and He wants you to come to Him. So we have the ability to ask of God, and He wants to give us this. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." This peace of God, the shalom of God, the Jewish people, the connectedness between man and God, is truly what the world strives for. They don't know where to find it. Sometimes they try to find it in drugs or alcohol or sexual relationships, all the different things that will never bring peace. Sometimes they try to find peace in very good things. PhDs do not bring peace, and anyone who's in a PhD program knows that. Okay, but praise God, it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it does not bring peace. God wants us to have the peace of God that transcends, truly transcends, all understanding, and He will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, we do have an enemy, and the sad part is, yes, we have the enemy of Satan, but we also have an enemy of the enemy that is called from within. We have an enemy sometimes from ourselves, and that enemy will sometimes try to pull you down or say wrong thoughts or pull you away from God. And that enemy can be a very powerful enemy. We need to be guarded in our minds and our hearts by Christ Jesus. And praise God, that is what He wants to do. And then it goes on and He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters," in this case, "whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." These things that He calls us, you know, that He calls us to think about is, well, all of them can be answered in Christ Jesus. That's for sure true. But I want you to think about that. And I wrote these down, but I didn't want to stop on that. I want you to think about, what are some of the things? What is true in this world? God's Word. God's Word is eternal. All these terminal things around us will disappear. But God's Word, whatever you've memorized in Scripture, whatever you've read in the Bible, all these things you will have with you throughout eternity. Because the flowers, you know, Isaiah 48, the flowers fade, but the Word of our God will stand forever. So God's Word is true. Well, whatever is noble, what is noble? I think of first generation missionaries or church planting missionaries that went out, I think of 100 years ago, the Hudson Taylors of the world, those who traveled to distant part of the world when these are very difficult areas. And these pioneering missionaries went there. Many of them went there to die. Many of them went there to stay their life. They didn't come home. You know, that is noble. Sacrifice to me is noble. But a mom getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning with her little baby that's crying, that's pretty noble too. A dad, person that goes to work day in and day out, provides for his family, that's noble too. It's good to look for things that are noble and right and true. Whatever is right. Well, we can choose right. There is wrong in this world. There is right in this world, and we can choose to do right. You will have an opportunity to do that every day. And that's a good thing to think about. Whatever is pure, I was thinking about pure. What would be pure? Certainly heaven is pure. Certainly God is pure. But I had a privilege many years ago now to go to the country of Iceland and hike on the glaciers there in the country of Iceland. And you're walking on glaciers and you see this water coming from the glaciers. And it is crystal blue and pure. I don't know if it is pure. I didn't drink it and they didn't tell me to drink it. but it was pure looking. It was just perfectly blue and everything else. And I thought of that for pure, you know. Whatever is lovely. Many, many, many things in God's creation are absolutely lovely. Flowers blow me away. I mean, honestly, I can see why guys give flowers to girls. I mean, but I love flowers. Flowers to me are amazing, are amazingly, like I can go to these flower gardens. Man, look at that. Just the colors. Boom! I'm not artistic at all, but I love the colors. I love, when I was a kid, one of my earliest memories, now I was not, hint, a great student in school, but I was a dreamer. I used to lay on my porch as a kid. I think it's like preschool, like whatever age I was, preschool. I would lay on the porch and watch the clouds go by and watch the color of blue. And then my mom would call me in, Carl, come on in. But that's a vivid memory to me that God's creation is truly, truly lovely. And then whatever is admirable. You know, being a good student is admirable. Being whatever you are and being the best at it that God has enabled you to be, that is admirable. And how to apply that in our lives. I love what Martin Luther King once said. He said, if you're a street cleaner, be the best street cleaner you can be. When people walk down that street, let them know that this street is something special, that this is admirable. They may not take recognition that this street is clean, but you'll know it is, and they'll know it somewhere also. Whenever you do something to the best of your ability, that God enables you to do it, that is admirable. And a wonderful, wonderful attribute that God wants us to understand. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That is so important. It's retraining your mind. Don't think about the garbage that is out there. There's a lot of that. But there's a lot of things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And it's retraining our minds of how to look, how to think, what to see. And this is what, you know, God's word is practical. It's not only just religious, heaven forbid. It's practical. It's living. It's life. And how can we live to the best of our ability? And then he goes on and says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And this is the great pioneer missionary Paul. What can we learn from Paul? Put those things into practice, as James said. Do not be only hearers of the word. You got to be doers, too. You got to be doers. I have a thought that I've been working on now for a bit, and it's this mind of Christ. I first started to get challenged about the mind of Christ from a hymn, and this hymn is called May the Mind of Christ My Savior. And I started to think about the great hymns of the past. I tended to go back a little bit because that's where this book is. This is a daily devotional, and it's called Amazing Grace. And it's a history of the people that wrote these hymns in the past. And each day there's a different hymn, and each day they tell about the author that read it. Well, one of these days, probably before when Nathan called and said, hey, would you come and speak in the church in September? I said, okay, I don't know what I'm going to speak about, but okay, I'll come. But I was reading this, and God put on my heart, may the mind of Christ my Savior. And then I looked at the first sentence or two, and it goes on and says, each day our prayer life should include the request that the Holy Spirit reveal the mind of Christ to us. As we mature in the Christian faith, our personalities and character should take on Christ-like qualities. And then I started to think about prophecy. What is prophecy? Does God still speak today? You know, we have his word. We know that's the word of God, and this is our primary source. Absolutely. Everything must coincide and confirm scripture. But as I read these daily devotionals, I fully could see that God inspired both words and tunes. Not all of them, but some of them, and many of them, and the testimony of people, how they were walking down the street, and all of a sudden this tune came into their mind, and all of a sudden these words just appeared, and they went back home and they wrote them down in 7 minutes. I don't write like that. But that God inspired them, that these are inspired pieces. And I believe it's biblical. Why? Because a percentage of our Bible is made up of music and songs. God knows music speaks to the heart of people. Music is powerful. It is songs and music that people will remember far, far after many other things, you know, with things that you'll learn in school, you'll still be singing different songs, different pieces. So I started to look at these verses, and I want to read these verses to you, and I want you to think about them, because I believe that these are inspired by God, and that they can help you grow in your faith. And the author's first verse says, "May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say." Wow. Is that something to ask God for? Lord, control what I do. Control what I say. Help me not to hurt people with my words. Help me to build people up with my words. Lord, if I see somebody lonely in my junior high school, give me the courage to walk over to them and welcome them or speak to them. Lord, if I see somebody in my college that needs help with something that I understand very easily, give me the confidence to help them and to maybe even point them to Jesus Christ. Your generation, for the most part, does not know the love of God. Many of the people that you will meet in your universities and schools and world do not know Jesus. The only way they can come to know Jesus is if they hear. And you're the word, you're the people that can bring that message. Verse 2, "May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power." Yesterday, I was with a young lady and we went down the beach. There was a trip for international students and she was driving the car. And I was saying, oh, I was struggling a little bit as a teacher, that I'm teaching a class that I don't fully like to teach. And it's called English Composition 101. I should like it more, but I don't like to teach it so much. And I was saying, oh, you know, the class isn't going so well. I felt a little bad. And she looks at me and she says, but your teacher, Carl. She looks at me as a very good teacher. And you're a teacher. You teach well. And I'm sitting there. Really, only through God's grace, only through God's help, and only through God's mercy. And it struck me, I was relying on my own skills and not on God's. We triumph only through his power, and all of us need to remember that. And this song helped me to think of that also. "May the peace of God my Father rule my life and everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing." There are many people who are sick, many people that are sorrowful in this world. Unfortunately, in the month of August, I lost two of my aunts that I truly loved. And they were wonderful, wonderful people. And I had an opportunity to speak at both funerals. And one I visited in hospice, and I didn't have my Bible, but praise God I had memorized Psalm 23 and of the other verses and could say them. And there was one verse at the funeral seminar, at the funeral that I appreciated. I appreciated telling. It was from Psalm 23:5, and it would say that he comforts me. in the presence of my enemy. And my aunt didn't have any enemies. She was just such a wonderful person. She didn't have any enemies that anybody in the audience could think of. But you see, what they weren't thinking, we all have an enemy. We all have an enemy. Two big enemies. One is sin and Satan. That's our enemy. And the other is death. Death was not what it was supposed to be. Jesus grieved at death. Death is an enemy, and it will be wiped out when Jesus comes again. Death is never pleasant. Death is never fun. Death is always ugly. And Jesus fully understood that. And he wept at his friend Lazarus, and he wants us to know, have the ability to comfort others. Have the ability to reach out to the sick and sorrowing, as this verse says. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. Self-abasing is an old word. It doesn't mean put yourself down. You are a daughter or child of the King. You are loved by God. You don't have to abase yourself. But what it is saying is put God first. We have a tendency very often to put ourselves first. Don't do that. Put God first. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. Hebrews 12:2. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. We serve a beautiful God who created a beautiful world. Our beautiful God wants us to be with him throughout eternity. That's his heart, and that's the God we serve. And then this message for this day closes with a poem, and the author is unknown. Personally, I think the author is Kate B. Wilkinson, the writer of this song. But you could rewrite this daily, and this poem reads this way. Let his mind be with you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In the home, Christ likeness is kindness. Be kind to your parents. They don't have it all that easy. Be kind to those parents, okay? Parents, be kind to your children. In the home, kindness is such an important quality to exhibit between each other. In business, it is honesty. If you have a business, if you're ever going to have a business, be honest. Function honestly. Many countries are broken in our world today because of corruption. Many, many, many countries do not achieve what God would intend them to be because of corruption. In business, Christ-likeness, a mind of Christ would be honesty. Towards the weak, the mind of Christ would be burden-bearing. Towards the sinner, it is evangelism. Help them to know Jesus. Towards ourself, it is self-control, to be able to control our words and actions. Never easy to do, but very worthy to do. Towards God, it is reverence, love, and worship. May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. Amen.